All right, so on to album 70, Finding a Way. And yes, I know a couple of these episodes came out in 2021. Don't tell me that in the comments.
Also, this is the start of the next episode.
Yes,
the next episode of the podcast, if you want to do a little intro.
Oh, yeah. Okay, oh, right. I was just going to re-record it, but you're probably right. 1, 2, 3, you're about to listen to a podcast full of wonder, excitement, and discovery. It's time for an adventure through Odyssey. Hey, everyone, welcome back to the Adventures Through Odyssey podcast, Odyssey Revisited. I'm Will, here with John, and you might be listening to the mega episode as we continue through the year 2020, or you heard episode 69 a week ago, and now you're here for album 70. So, we're going to kick off with Jumping Off, Jumping In. Wyatt starts taking silly risks like eating hot chips, leaping from sheds, and venturing into the lair of a ravenous beast. Is Jay putting him up to it, or is it tied to something that happened to his sister?
Well, from the description, it's definitely something that happened to his sister.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm just going to say it. Wyatt is slowly becoming a favorite kid character of mine. I know in that first episode he showed up, I think it was the Sandwich Initiative, he came off as like kind of that annoying kid that they kind of make you hang out with when you're younger, and they just wrote him a little too annoying in that first episode.
And then they wrote him kind of poorly. But I think they've kind of figured out his beef for the character, and I think it's really good because I think he is supposed to be younger. I think that's like...
Oh, absolutely.
And I think this is a good episode. I think... It's interesting. It's like really kind of there's a few episodes in this album where I'm like, this is a little bit of a dark album, to be honest with you. Like, there is dark stuff going on in a lot of these episodes. And this is like kind of like, you know, he feels like his sister could have died and that was like his fault and he wasn't able to save her. Now, Jay, okay, we'll get to Jay in a sec, but like, I think this would probably be a young kid who's like, I want to prove myself and prove that like I, you know, I'm brave and all this stuff. And I think it's an interesting, I think, way to go about it. I think, especially because they bring this up in a later episode, that this has some like sad implications for her sister.
That she's afraid of water, and we'll get to that in the episode. You know, it sounds so, because when I first heard this, the mom is being a little overprotective, isn't she? Then the second part comes up a few weeks later, and it's, oh, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, you get the full extent of how, like, affected she was, like, she is, and, like, because I think that's hard to get, because
this is a Wyatt episode.
This is a Wyatt episode. And then the other one's really a, what's his sister's name? I always forget.
Bridget and Mom episode.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say, I loved the moment in the beginning when Wit goes in and asks him how high the shed was. Like, okay. I hate the phrase boys will be boys, but that was a good, like, Wit gets it moment. He shouldn't have done it, but let's not yell at him.
Right. Like, I could see just a random kid jumping off his shed.
Yes, it does feel like a stupid little boy thing to do.
Yeah.
But, so Jay in this episode is interesting.
Yeah, like, okay, Jay at the... I think his reaction, like, him freaking out, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But it feels a little forced. Here's the problem. Jay is a really good character. But the writers sometimes use him as a be-all, end-all for, like, the bad character in an episode. So like in some episodes he's just like the mischievous scamp, like trying to like, you know, like just doing his own thing. He's got his own little schemes going. Sometimes he's blackmailing kids. Sometimes he's like saying horrible things. They're kind of have a combination of Jared and Rodney Rathbone, and it kind of like fluctuates between those two characters in terms of like, is he just like this guy who's scheming and getting into trouble, or is he a guy who's like actually a bad person?
Yes, because this is like a very low moment for Jay in the episode.
Yeah, you're like, that's horrible. Like, and he's old enough to know that that would be bad.
So, I was about to say, Jay's probably of the right age. I do want to know, and the episode did not have to spell this out, what happened to Bridget after she fell off the rope swing?
I think she just hit the water. Just,
well, right, but like, she passed out?
Sometimes
I'm just confused on how she wasn't able to regain her consciousness.
Sometimes if the water is really cold and you go fully submerged into it, you can enter some shock. So, I mean, it could be that. It could be that it was, like, a little bit shallow. She just hit her head on it wrong and got knocked out. Like, there's a lot of different ways.
Oh, yeah. And I won't lie, I like that the episode is about Wyatt trying to find his bravery. I thought they did that very well.
Yeah.
But on that note, let's talk about the wraparound for this episode with Chris.
Oh, like, what was it? Yeah.
Don't try to save a person who's drowning. They might just pull you under. Throw them a life preserver or a pool noodle instead. Okay, so I just want to be clear about this. I get it. They don't want to get in trouble if a kid tries to replicate this, and I get it. A drowning person can be a little more intense than Bridget was being in this episode. But yes, it is a little strange after listening to an episode where a brother saved his sister from drowning twice, they suddenly say that.
Right. Here's what happened. I'm not sure, but this would be my guess. They wrote the episode. They filmed the script. They, like, recorded, and then someone was listening to it, and it's like, guys, you're not supposed to try to do that for someone who's drowning. You're supposed to, like, throw them, like, a noodle or something, and they were like, crap! Quick! It's like, I'm sure that's also what happened with, like, the pizza on the light bulb episode, where they, like, never cooked.
We know that one, because that one actually got added after the episode aired.
Okay. But, like, so, my guess is, that's what happened. Is that, like, they either wrote the script and wrote the second script that involved the water thing, and they're like, well, we don't know how to change this.
Yeah, so the one thing I will say is, Wit, Mom, and Lifeguard Man, I forgot his name, are all at the pool when this happens. Lifeguard should realize what real drowning looks like.
Yeah.
And did you just have a panic attack or something? I feel like this might be a medical problem.
Well, no, I think she had a panic. You see, from the other episode, you see how I think badly it affected her. So I wouldn't be surprised if she just entered, like, she got so scared.
That could definitely again. Be it.
So.
Oh, yeah. All right. Auto response. When Connie's car is stolen, Detective Polhouse tracks down what really happened and the surprising link to other Odyssey residents. Kind of the sequel to The Toy.
I will agree. It is almost like a sequel to The Toy. I will say this. I hated the first time Connie said, I leave my keys in the car. It's Odyssey. I was like, that's such a dumb thing. And then everyone said it. So I thought that I think worked. I was surprised. At first I was like, that's dumb. And then I was like, okay, it's like a joke. Everyone does it.
Yeah. So yes, that totally worked. I initially thought because Connie had the cold, she just parked the car somewhere random, which kind of turned out to happen, but it's really a comedy of errors episode until it suddenly isn't.
Until it's suddenly like, Buck! I mean, it's also clear that I think I feel like racism.
Okay, not racism, just bias.
Okay. But yeah, I think at the beginning I knew Jules was somehow involved because I feel like Jules is leaving the house and she's like, okay, bye.
Yes.
Like she reads a line in a way, so it's like, okay, so obviously Jules took it in some capacity. Here's the thing. I like Polhouse as a character. I do think they could make him a little more goofy. Just add a drop of Harlow Doyle, so then the end of all his episodes doesn't have to be serious.
You mean where he calls his mom?
Yeah, like, it's like, here's the thing, I actually liked the end of that episode. I thought it was, like, really sweet. I really like this episode. I want more with Polhouse, but it does seem like the two very Polhouse episodes I remember are The Gift.
Yes.
Where has a super touching and super, like, serious ending. And then this episode, which also has a super touching, serious ending. And I like Paul a lot, but I want to see him, like, in more just episodes where it's not, like, him-focused episodes. Where it's, like, I don't, like, it's just, like, it's so much. Did his nephew die, or is his nephew sick, or what was it?
I think he's sick.
It's, like, he's sick. And then, like, he was adopted, and his adopted father is dead, and it's like, Whole House.
I mean, at least it explains why. Yes, the confrontation scene at the end between him and Buck is interesting because it seems like them coming to some sort of resolution about each other.
Yeah, it's interesting. I will say that was interesting because he was so against Buck the whole episode. And he's like, I understand you, Buck. And it's like, doesn't quite work with the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I get we see like everybody immediately jumping on him when he accuses Buck. But he's accused Buck of literally everything, so it kind of makes sense.
And then Connie's like, I'll drop charges. And Polos was like, you would do that? It's like, yes, she's not going to get Buck arrested.
Yes, and the car wasn't damaged, I don't think.
Right. It was just funny.
Yes, and again, this is yet another in what I feel like is getting paid off at some point. The Buck, like you said, the Buck doing sketchy things to keep Jules out of trouble.
Yeah. There's an even sketchier thing in the last episode of this album.
This is true. And wait, where is Jillian working? She's at Triple J, right?
Triple J Antiques.
Yes. Okay, I wasn't sure. But yeah, a nice comedy of errors. I agree, the running gag is a lot better as the episode goes along. I don't mind they're using Pull House to write the super serious episodes. I agree, it feels like we just info dump about him at the end of every Pull House episode at this point.
And here's the thing. I say it's more because I like Pole House. I want to see him more. But you know, if we just get every two albums like a good Pole House story, that might be good enough. Maybe I shouldn't tempt fate and have them mess him up. Because I do really like this episode. I do really like this episode.
Yes. Oh yeah. Unrelatable. After a caller says on her on radio advice says on her on air radio that Connie's advice is unrealistic. Connie puts Wooten's scheduled show on hold to convince her audience that she can, in fact, relate to her listeners. So this one takes a turn.
He was in your house. Oh my gosh. He was in your house. That was intense.
Yeah, it was like Wooten was there just to lighten up the episode. Okay.
There's a lot of things about this. Let me say this. I love the idea of the episode. I love the message they're trying to do.
Yes.
I like the idea that they're saying that it's like, right, this person calls into Connie and it's like, you're not relatable. And it's like, right, sometimes when you're a Christian, you can't, and you tell people things, you can't necessarily be relatable because that's just like, you know, because you have to follow God. And I think that's really good. I question the intensity of how they decided to do that.
I agree. I do love how the episode opens with a slightly meta joke about Connie always hanging out with older men. And just like, yeah, you know, I can see Connie being a very unrelatable person in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So one, I just want to hear an episode that's Wooten's comic book show that's apparently just become an advice show. I think that's a hilarious pitch for an episode.
I know. I thought this episode started and it was so lighthearted and I thought it was going to be super. I thought it was going to be like, you know, really fun episode. And it just takes such a turn.
Yes. I thought it was going to be Connie realizing, oh, I should sometimes not give lighter answers, but sometimes, you know, just talking, you know, sometimes we just need to not let loose and have fun. Do you kind of know where I'm, like, Wooten is
like serious, you sometimes need to be knows. You sometimes need to talk to them and get maybe a deeper understanding sometimes.
Yes, that's what I was going for. So yeah, Connie's helping a criminal, not helping, but trying to track down a criminal. I mean, like, at first I thought when Jason ran in, their mics were still hot or something. Oh
yeah.
And I I do question how they figure out Connie's in the he's in Connie's house by the smoke detector.
Yeah, I mean, here's my question. Why did she have to... Okay, I actually have a few things. I almost wonder if this episode would have been better if it had been Whit.
Instead of Jason?
No. I like a lot of the stuff. But for the unrelatable message, I wonder if this wouldn't have been a really good time for, like, a Whit episode. Like, Whit was the one people were saying, you're so unrelatable, Whit. Like, how can you give that advice?
Well, Whit wouldn't take that personally.
Well, right. But maybe... I mean, they could have rephrased it differently. It's just, like, hard because we still see Connie struggle a lot. And I guess, I mean, that's the point of, you know, as a Christian, you're always going to struggle with things. I don't know. I just felt like there... It's just such an interesting episode. Like, there's a lot of different stuff you can dissect. Like, why have him in, why have him be an escaped convict when there's a lot of other things you could do instead? Like, you could just have someone call in and, like, share something, and it's like, I'm gonna tell the person about this. This isn't fair to them. Like, and I know, like, this might hurt you or ruin stuff in your life. I don't see why it has to be a escaped convict, and I have no idea why that person had to go into Connie's house.
Maybe it was a coincidence.
But you get what I mean? It's like, okay, like, it's like, okay, I get that, yeah, it's just, yeah.
I'll try to help somehow. First off, I want to say I do like this episode. It's a very good take on the story. I agree with John that, oh, wow, this feels heavier than Odyssey normally does, but that's fine. I'm guessing he was just in Connie's house because it was a quick way to get him arrested at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he knew that's where Connie's house was or what, but it's a ride. And yes, I get Wooten is there to bring levity to the situation.
Especially, it feels weird that... Here's the thing, I do admit that they, like, you know, he probably should go to jail. Like, we don't even know what he did, do we?
I don't think they do mention it. Never mind.
It almost feels like it's funny, and I don't have a problem with this, but it's, like, such a pro, like, oh, they should, like, these people should go to jail. And it's, like, I agree, like, an escaped convict shouldn't go to jail. It just felt like also, like, they were like, you're so unrelatable, Connie, because you let the police come and get me and didn't let me escape. Because that's yes, who you are. Okay. That's Connie Kendall. And it's like, is that right, giving Christian advice, right, and sometimes hard Christian advice, I 100% agree with. Having it be like, you didn't warn me that the police were coming.
Yes, I agree. This is taking the situation to maybe its logical extreme, and they should have done something a little more in a gray area.
Mm-hmm. I think that was more my issue. Was at the end when they were like, okay, and then he's like, no, it makes sense. That's why I admired you, Connie, because you're Connie Kendall, and that's who you are. You do the right thing. And it's like, I agree, but I feel like it should have been, maybe she could have had more of an active role in giving that, because in this time it seemed more passive. Like, I mean, she told Jason, yeah, he's in my house. Which, I mean, I would call the police regardless if this random guy was calling me and I knew they were in my house.
Yes.
Like, regardless of the situation.
I'm just here for the alternate version where Jules hits him over the head with a frying pan.
But I guess that's more my thing, is that I like a lot of the idea of this episode, but I think taking it to this extreme where it's like Connie didn't warn this escaped convict that the police were coming is a bit of an extreme for the unrelatable side. Like, I like the unrelatable story, But it does seem like kind of a weird conclusion to be like, no, it makes sense. You're like, right, always do the right thing, which makes you unrelatable, which is why you didn't let me escape.
Yeah. So, and honestly, to me, the easy way to change that is have it be one of Connie's friends from high school. I know we never met any of them, but we can just make someone up. That at least makes her think a little more about it, because apparently she didn't know him. So.
Yeah, that actually would have solved a lot of the problems with it, because then she's making an active choice where she's like, I know you're my friend, but I can't let you get away with this. And it's like, she feels sorry for the dude, but it's also hard when he like breaks into, you know,
the house.
Like, even if it had been something like he, because I also heard, maybe they did it this format and they had to rewrite it, because this was like one of the first episodes they ever filmed remotely. And I'm sure the radio aspect was a reason for that.
Oh, I'm sure.
They felt like they could almost do this as like a test episode to figure some of the bugs out, because it's supposed to be going on the radio.
I would agree.
But yeah, I guess it's just weird because it's like a passive choice where it's like, yes, Jason, I know where he is. He's in my house. I'm very disturbed by this.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good episode. Right. It's just that at the end just was like, that's a weird conclusion for the unreasonable part.
Goes to a theme of this year. I'm putting Connie in some unreasonable situations.
Yeah.
All right. The Protector. Wyatt attempts to use his newfound protective instinct superpower while Clara worries she's losing connection with her daughter, Bridget. A good part two to the drowning episode.
Yeah, it's a good part two. Some good bear stuff.
Yes, I know. I kind of is like Jay gonna be dressed as a bear or something, and that's the joke here. I mean, I guess it makes sense. They always talk about how there are woods just outside of Odyssey, so. All right. And I do want to just say we have a new Odyssey writer this year, Abigail Geiger. And I feel like this is one of the only times I've really hyped up a new writer. She wrote For a Song, which was the Jules and Valerie episode. And then she also wrote If I Never Told You, which is the January Club episode, both of which are solid episodes. And no, we're not just saying that in case she listens to the show.
We always got to be sure. We never know. That's why, I mean, I feel like I was pretty generous to the writers. I sometimes question their decisions, but I gave them credit where I feel like that's what happened with the Rydell episodes. And I do think Rydell episode got significantly better with the last episode of the album and the whole thing with Emily.
Oh, yeah. So that wraps up this episode.
We really we thought it was Morty. We thought it was Maury's arc. It's really Emily's arc. Da 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 da.
I like the thing they pivoted into that as the story went on.
Yeah. Probably.
Anyway, that wraps up this episode. Join us next time for the 2020 club episodes, and then give us some feedback about if you like the idea of us doing Odyssey year by year. We probably start with those four focus on the family dramas that kind of inspired Odyssey. Then 88, which was family portraits in like the first five episodes of Odyssey. So just let us know. All right, I'm Will.
I'm John.
We'll see you next.